is Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. The parable of the talents. Again, it would be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another, 2 talents, and to another, 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work, and gave 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of these servants returned and settled accounts with them. A man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside, into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to respond. Amen. So, most of you, when you came in, should have gotten one of these white outlines. And as you can see, it is really an outline. There's not much to it. And I only give it to you because it's my suggestion that you could take notes on it. And I only say that because even for me, when I listen to a sermon, even if it's a good sermon, it's quite easy for me, even just maybe tomorrow, to have forgotten most, if not everything, that I heard in the sermon. So it's very helpful for me, most sermons, I take notes, and then I review those notes a few days later, so I can actually take more application away. And you won't necessarily get one of these every week, especially if I'm not preaching, but it's really not that hard to bring a piece of paper or a notebook and pen and do it yourself. And again, it's not for everybody, but I'm just saying, someone like me, I'm forgetful, so it helps. Now, before I start talking about the parable, let me give you one important assumption, something that you have to know in order for this parable to really make sense. And that is knowing the love of God, knowing the forgiveness, mercy, and ultimately the grace of God, and knowing that we can't give anything to God that He hasn't already given us, and knowing that we can't earn our way to God. Because being a steward for God is a voluntary response, as MQ said, a response to God's love, a response to our forgiveness, a response to God's grace. So the parable tonight is really focused towards people who know already that they are stewards of Jesus. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're not sure that you've been forgiven, if you're not sure that your role is actually as a steward, then this parable is not going to make complete sense. Now, MQ also went into the word stewardship a little. I think in German it's Haushalterschaft. Haushalterschaft. Anyway, I don't even know if I spelled it right, but I don't know if it's capitalized or what the deal is. Essentially, it's a person who manages another's property or financial affairs. A person who's been appointed to supervise, who's been given power, he's been given authority, but he's not the owner. And in a biblical sense, stewardship means sharing what God has already given to us. Now, sort of a good illustration of someone who's a bad steward is Ruth and I have a friend who is house-sitting, and house-sitting is sort of a good example of someone who's been appointed to be a steward, to, you know, make sure the house doesn't get robbed, to take in the mail, to feed the cat, water the plants. Well, our friend was watching a house for the summer, and he proceeded to do three things. He broke their computer, and he had a big party. And what happened at the party is he had all these cheese plates, and the cat got into the cheese plates and was throwing up cheese for the next few days. And finally, apparently he had an aerobics video, and he had put it on the TV and, you know, was doing his aerobics in the living room. And if anyone's ever been to Pastor Martin's flat, he's got that big glass table. Well, think of one like three times that size, big coffee table. And apparently this guy was doing aerobics, and he tripped and fell onto the coffee table and broke it. So that is an example of bad stewardship. Now, let's talk for a minute about the word talent. And in the ancient world, a talent was originally a huge amount of money. And it was actually a weight, because they measured money by how much it weighed, you know, how much gold or silver there was. So we don't actually know exactly how much a talent was worth, but it was potentially worth years worth of wages for a peasant. So someone who's a farm worker who doesn't make much, this is a huge amount of money. And in a symbolic sense, a talent can mean all of God's gifts to us. Things like abilities, usefulness, resources, talents. And actually, I'm pretty sure this is true, but I think the English word talent got its meaning from this parable. Because back in the ancient world, again, it was a weight, which meant money. So now we have talented, like, you know, I think my wife is a pretty talented opera singer. But that word actually comes from this parable. So one meaning is obviously literal money, but it has many, many more and broader applications than that. And let me also say that in this section of the book of Matthew, Jesus gives a number of parables about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. So there's some reoccurring themes that we see again and again in the parables. And the first is this idea of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, which are the same thing. And my definition of that would simply be what life looks like when you follow Jesus as king. It's about as simple a definition as you can get. And the parables in this section should ask the question, do we treat Jesus as king? Another theme is that normally there's always a master and there's always servants. And in the parables, the master always represents Jesus and the servants always represent people. And in this way, the parables should ask, what kind of servants are we? Another theme is the master normally takes a journey. He goes away. and there's a delay in him coming back. And this is obviously referring to the fact that Jesus is going to return, but there may be a delay, and we don't know how long that delay is going to be. And what this asks is, will we be ready? And finally, there's normally a separation. At the end of every parable, there's a separation of people into two categories, which ultimately means two final destinations after life. And there's always no middle ground, no second chances. There's only two places that people are going to go. And the parable should be asking, which way are we going to go? Which category do we fit into? So with that background knowledge, we can talk about the specific parable, the parable of the talents, as it's known as. So what is Jesus telling us in this parable? First of all, number one, God gives his people abilities, talents, and resources. Now that might be pretty obvious, but if you got your Bibles, you want to turn to page 555. That's Psalm 24. So Psalm 24, just verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." So in other words, the earth and everything in it, including us and everything we have, are from God. And we are all entrusted as his stewards. Everything including this building, including maybe the Vega you live in, including MQ's shirt, everything. The food you ate today, that was something that was entrusted to you by God, and it ultimately belongs to God. Now, in this parable, we see a second thing, and we see the master being kind and generous to these good servants. So the lesson is, God is going to reward the people that he considers good and faithful servants. And you also notice in this parable that it has something to do with investing. Because remember, they were given money, and only those who invest the money are good. And remember, the talent can be symbolic too. So the point is that like an investor, if you're an investor, like an investor uses money, God wants us to be actively using and investing the talents and abilities and resources we have. A third meaning of the parable is there's a warning from what Jesus himself calls the wicked servant. And this servant, he was given one talent, and he didn't even lose it. In fact, he buried it, and he probably gave it, I mean, aside from a little dirt on it, he probably gave it back in perfect condition. But everyone, including the one who only had one talent, was expected to do something with that talent, not bury it. It wasn't acceptable behavior. So actually, let's go back to the parable, and it's 995. And if you look at verse 26, his master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant, so you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest." And that's quite a surprise in the parable, because he was safe with the money, but safety is not a virtue. And the master, again, is firm and calls this servant wicked. And let's get the picture of Denethor. If anyone has ever seen the movie Lord of the Rings, this is a perfect example of a bad steward. In fact, his name was Denethor Stewart of Gondor. And Gondor, for those who've seen the movie but might not remember, remember that big white city that was sort of on a hill? And, you know, he lived on the top of it, of course. And the line of kings had been broken. So the race of men put a steward in charge to act for the king until the king returned. And he was actually a very, very bad steward because he wasn't taking care of the city. He wasn't getting ready to defend it. And he had heard about Aragorn. And Aragorn was in the line of kings who had a right to be the king. And Denethor was actually like, you know, I'm not going to let this ranger take my throne. But it wasn't even his. So I just like Lord of the Rings, so I thought I'd say that. So let's get to a few applications. And applications are just, that's a big word for useful things that we can know and then act on. So letter A, God gives us talents, abilities, usefulness. Each one of us, each and every person in this room, if you're sitting on a chair in this room right now, God has given you talents and abilities. Just as simple as that. God has given everyone potential. He has trusted us with his gifts. Now, these might not be that obvious, and some of them might need developing or even discovering, but the fact is that God created us to be useful. He created us to be partners in his plans and his purposes. Letter B. The size of what God gives you does not matter. Even the smallest things matter to God. In the parable, everyone still needs to use and develop their talents. Even the one who is only given one talent. So it is an important side lesson that you shouldn't be comparing yourself to other people, because the talents that God gives you are not going to be the same as the people sitting next to you. And let's look at one final Bible passage. This is page 1018. It's Mark chapter 12. That's 1018. And if we look at Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 41, the widow's offering. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Obviously, those are some powerful words. And in the parable of the talents, the master says to the person that was given one talent, at least you could have done something. At least you could have gone to the bank. You didn't have to bury it in the ground. And it's one of those, since we're talking about money, it's one of those things that many of us are poor students, including myself. But that's not an excuse. You can't just say, oh, you know, I'll start giving some other day, you know, when I'm rich, you know, when I get that promotion or when I get that first job. No. The widow had nothing. I mean, all she had were two little copper coins. And Jesus was pleased with that. So don't fall into the trap of thinking that it's easier to give money if you're rich. Because the truth is that as your income rises, so do your expenses along with it. And the kingdom of God, I know this isn't popular to talk about, but the kingdom of God needs money. And LEC, as a small, weak, feeble part of the kingdom of God, is an organization that needs money too. And we're not a state church like they have here in Germany. We don't get money handed to us from the government. And the fact is, I mean, many of you people, and I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty here, but LEC is 11 years old. And it's only about 70% self-funding. Not even, if I've looked at the latest figures. I mean, the fact is, I personally know churches in Mexico who are half this age and are self-funding. People in Mexico. And I guess a good way to say this is to quote Pastor Martin, who said one time, "The last thing converted is your wallet." And I just think that's just so true. And again, money is just one particular part of the whole picture. So don't be deceived. The kingdom of God is also about prayer. And the kingdom of God needs prayer partners. And to be a healthy, growing community, we need prayer partners that make praying a priority. And again, praying for the kingdom of God is a big thing, but in this one particular part, this part called LEC, it needs prayer for its leaders, its finances, its future, its unity, its gospel focus, its evangelism, that we're faithful to the word of God, that we're getting to know God and love God more and serve God more. Everybody has the ability to pray. I mean, you might not be some prayer warrior who can stay up all night and pray, but everybody has that ability. And there are dozens of other possibilities of talents that God may have given you. No one is restricted. And let me also make clear that God is not just asking for one or two parts of your life. That in a correct biblical theology, Jesus wants our whole lives devoted to him. Our whole lives, including our talents. Now let her see. There is no excuse for not using our abilities and talents. Jesus expects us to use those for his kingdom, for his glory, for the sake of the good news of Jesus. And in the parable, it's a hard saying, but Jesus said, I mean, the only rationale was laziness or fear. And what if Jesus comes tomorrow? Will we be ready? What excuse are we going to use? Are we going to say, "Hi, Jesus, that talent you gave me, I was going to start tomorrow." I mean, the sad thing, and here's another one of those uncomfortable things to say, but I said it to a few people in the past week when I was preparing this, and they thought it was sort of true, that many people around the world are more faithful in caring for their dogs than they are for caring for the kingdom of God. More people are concerned with caring for the clothes they wear and the food they eat than caring for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's an unfortunate thing that with our sinful nature, it's very natural to be good at using the resources and talents we have to take care of ourselves and even take care of our families. But it's not very natural, because we're all sinful, to take care of our churches, our pastors, our missionaries, and those people that are in need. Letter D, being a faithful steward takes sacrifice. And I've always said there's no such thing as not having any time or money or talent. It's just a matter of having bad priorities. And if we have bad priorities, then making excuses is going to be easy. Being a good steward means adjustment of our lifestyles. And instead of just centering on ourselves and how can we help ourselves, how can we please ourselves, but centering our lives around God and his kingdom, his gospel, his glory, his purposes. And you might say, well, it would be really difficult for me to commit to that, or it would be really difficult for me to do that, Matt. Well, yeah. That's part of the cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Sacrifice is something which is normally necessary. Now, if we can get the cartoon I thought this was funny. Hopefully it's big enough for you to read. There's really no point to that. I just thought it was funny. Just to keep you guys awake. Letter E. Our talents and abilities can be used in many, many contexts and many, many situations. God's kingdom is more than just Sunday morning and Sunday evening. God's kingdom is more than just a church building and someone who gets paid to preach. There are many people here that are probably involved with other churches or campus ministries, volunteer organizations. You might be involved informally with friends and family, even strangers. So don't get me wrong, that God blesses the unseen work too. So I do not want to give the idea that, you know, LEC is, you know, the grand place to be helping and working. And like, there are many things that you may be doing that are totally unrelated to LEC, and maybe no one but yourself even knows about them. Letter F. Some might be wondering, though, about here locally. They might be wondering, how is God working or wanting to work at LEC? You might be thinking, well, how can we get on board? How can we be useful? How can God use my talents at LEC? And for the moment, I'm going to only talk to the regulars here. So if you're a visitor tonight, you can sit back and relax for the next minute or two. Perhaps on any given Sunday, if you include the morning service and the evening service, both are about the same size, and though they fluctuate each week, I'd say every week there's about 100 people who are regulars at LEC. And I assume that many of those people consider themselves followers of Jesus. So let's say, I'm just going to make a guess here, only God knows, 80 of those 100 people who are regulars here at LEC would consider themselves followers of Jesus. If all of those 80 people took their identity as stewards for Jesus Christ seriously, think of how things might be different here. And not for the sake of LEC, and not for the sake of any kind of worldly success, but for the sake of the kingdom of God. For the sake of the spread of the wonderful news of Jesus Christ. If everyone decided to be using and investing their abilities and talents and resources at LEC, this might be a far different church. Because you see, in the New Testament, the pattern is for everyone to be a partner, everyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ. Not just the ones who get paid, and then everyone else just sits back and warms a seat on Sunday. But Jesus desires all his followers to be faithful stewards. People who take what God has given them and are useful. Jesus desires everyone to be a partner in his ministry. And again, it's not LEC's ministry. It's not Pastor Martin's ministry. But this is how you can partner with God in the ministry of the kingdom of God, which has eternal significance. And two quick ways about that is, if you might not know what your talents are, you might not know what your gifts are, your abilities are, your resources are, well, you're in luck. There's some stewardship courses coming up. You can sign up. I know a lot of you have signed up already. It's only a 4-week commitment. There's some courses on Tuesday, some courses on Wednesday. Another way is to pray about it. Ask God in prayer, in deep, sincere, devoted prayer, what your talents are. How can you get on board? How can you be his steward? And as I said before, don't leave here thinking Jesus is asking for one or two or three parts of your life, depending on how many talents he might have given you. Jesus wants our whole lives to be devoted to him. I mean, just imagine if those 80 people, if those 80 people who consider themselves regulars and who are devoted to Jesus Christ became partners with LEC for the sake of the kingdom of God. So the final question that I'll leave you with is, are we using what God has given us for the glory of Jesus Christ? Are we using what God has given us for the glory of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Dear Lord, for the sake of the kingdom of God and Jesus, our King, compel us, convict us, change us, transform us. For your name and your glory, amen.